All right, strap in, everybody. We're going deep on Hosea today. Chapter 14, to be exact.
Oh, yeah.
We've got some excerpts here from Dr. John Oswalt's lectures on Hosea. And this chapter, let me tell you, this chapter is an emotional roller coaster.
Oh, wow.
Betrayal, heartbreak.
Yeah.
But ultimately, this amazing call to return back to God and trust in Him.
Hmm.
You ready for this?
Absolutely, I am. It's one of those chapters that really packs a punch.
Yeah.
Hosea uses this intense metaphor of marriage to represent God's relationship with Israel.
Right.
And it gets pretty rocky, you know.
It's not been smooth sailing, has it?
No.
We're talking infidelity, but on like a national scale here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Israel's chasing after all these other so-called lovers, idols, and foreign alliances.
Right.
Instead of just staying true to God.
Yeah. It's like they're playing the field and God's not having it.
Not happy about it.
No, not at all. And chapter 14 is like this turning point where everything comes to a head.
Yeah.
You know, there's this desperate plea from God for Israel to come back to him.
Right.
But it's not just a simple, oh, I forgive you.
Right.
There's so much more going on beneath the surface.
There's a lot packed in there. Well, and Dr. Oswalt, he kept coming back to this word, return.
Yeah.
It pops up all over the book.
Yes, it does.
I mean, you've got Hosea 3.5, 5.4, 6.1.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just picking a few out here.
Yeah.
It's this constant call to come back to God, no matter how far they strayed.
It's so interesting. You know, the Hebrew word for return is literally just about turning around, turning, like physically turning your body back towards something.
Yeah.
And I think it highlights this idea that returning to God is always possible.
Right.
No matter how lost we might feel.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not about some big, complicated process.
No.
It's about changing direction.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this and, you know, I've definitely felt that in my own life.
Oh, yeah.
That pull to turn back to something, you know. Yeah, maybe it's a bad habit
that
I keep falling into or a relationship that needs mending.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that need to turn back towards something you've strayed from?
Absolutely. I think it's a universal human experience. And that's part of what makes Hosea's message so relatable even thousands of years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as you mentioned, there are things that get in the way, you know?
Yeah.
Obstacles,
yeah.
Whether it's pride, fear, or just plain stubbornness.
Well, and Dr. Oswalt, he doesn't sugarcoat things
when
he talks about the obstacles Israel faced.
No, he doesn't.
He uses some strong language, their deeds,
their
arrogance, even this phrase, spirit of prostitution.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's a little jarring to read, isn't it?
It is. It's meant to be. I think the intensity of the language reflects the seriousness of the problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about outward actions.
Right.
It's about the inner motivations and attitudes.
Right.
That lead us away from God in the first place.
It's like when Dr. Oswalt talks about iniquity. It's more than just messing up.
Right.
It's like intentionally crossing a line. You know what you're doing.
You know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't just ignore those actions.
No.
There are consequences.
Absolutely. It creates this objective reality that has to be dealt with.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder about our own fences. You know, what lines are we crossing in our own lives?
Yeah.
And what are the ripple effects of those choices? Not just for us, but for others.
Oh, for sure. Those are some tough questions.
Yeah.
But in verse 2 of Hosea 14, we see this glimmer of hope.
Okay.
It says, take words with you and return to the Lord.
Mm.
It sounds so simple, but I have a feeling there's more to it than meets the eye.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
Dr. Oswalt really dug into the layers of meaning in that Hebrew word for words, dabar.
Okay, yeah.
And it's more than just sounds we make. It encompasses thing and event.
Okay.
It really highlights how our words have power. Like, they can actually shape reality.
So it's not just saying the right words. It's about acknowledging the truth. Right. What we've done.
Exactly.
Taking responsibility for it.
Yes. Owning it. And that takes humility. True confession.
Right.
It's not just about escaping punishment. It's about aligning our hearts and actions with our words.
Yeah.
It's about clearing the air so that true healing can begin.
And that is so relevant for today.
Oh, now, yeah.
This idea of confession, it's honesty.
Yeah.
Leading to healing.
Right.
I feel like today we try to sweep things under the rug or pretend like everything's fine.
Yeah, just keep moving.
Yeah. But true healing, it requires us to face the truth.
It does. And in Hosea, it seems like the Israelites are really getting this.
Okay.
You know, they're putting themselves out there and
yeah.
saying, we don't deserve forgiveness, but we're begging for it anyway.
Okay.
And then there's that phrase, that we may offer the fruit of our lips.
Yeah. What's that all about?
Well, Dr. Oswalt suggested it could be about using our words to produce good fruit, you know,
okay,
in our lives and in the lives of others.
Right.
It makes you think about the power of our words, right? How they can build up or tear down.
They can't. They can cut, you know.
Oh, yeah. I love that imagery of fruit, though.
Yeah.
You know, once we've cleared the air through confession,
right,
we can use our words to cultivate something beautiful and life-giving.
Right, like planting a seed.
Exactly. But getting to that point of confession,
yeah,
it requires a pretty radical shift in perspective, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Because in verse 3, there's this dramatic declaration. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made.
Wow.
They were rejecting all these other sources of security.
Yeah.
And putting their trust in God alone.
Mm.
Makes you wonder what those idols represent in our lives today, doesn't it?
It does. You know, we tend to think of idols as just statues or images.
Right.
But they can be anything we put our trust in above God.
Yeah.
It could be our careers, our possessions, our, you know, status.
Yeah.
Even good things, you know, like family or relationship.
Sure.
Can become idols if we let them take God's place in our hearts.
It's true. When I hear that line, to what our own hands have made.
Yeah.
It makes me think about, you know, our obsession with achievement.
Yeah.
Self-reliance.
Right.
It's like we're constantly trying to build our own security, you know, like our own little kingdoms.
Yeah, our own little empires.
Instead of trusting God to provide.
It's a common temptation. But there's a line a little later that really struck me.
Okay.
It says, "For in you the fatherless find compassion."
Oh, yeah.
It highlights something really profound about God's character, don't you think?
It does. It's like they're turning away from those idols because they're starting to get it.
Yeah.
They're starting to see who God really is.
Yeah, they're seeing his heart.
Yeah, that he's not some distant, uncaring deity.
Right.
He cares about the vulnerable, the marginalized.
He does. And Dr. Oswalt had this fascinating point about this.
Okay.
He said God's, you know, air quotes, special favorites.
Okay.
Are often those who are kind of overlooked or undervalued by society.
Yep.
You know, the widows, the orphans, the immigrants, or what he called non-contributors.
That's pretty radical.
It is.
Especially in a world obsessed with productivity, success.
Yeah.
It really challenges our assumptions about who deserves our care and attention.
For sure. It makes you think about how we treat those who are seen as non-contributing today.
Yeah.
You know, the elderly, the disabled, the homeless.
Yeah.
Are we extending that same compassion that God shows?
That's a question we got to ask ourselves, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
In the next part of our deep dive, we'll explore God's response to this plea for restoration.
Okay.
And we'll unpack some of the incredible imagery he uses.
Yeah.
To describe his love and forgiveness.
You wait.
So we were talking about how the Israelites were really starting to get it, you know,
yeah,
starting to grasp that profound compassion of God, especially for those who are often overlooked in society.
Yeah, they were starting to see the heart of God.
Like they were finally seeing him for who he truly is. But, I mean, how does God respond to their plea for forgiveness?
Well, verse 4 kind of gives us this glimpse into God's heart.
Okay.
It says, "I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them."
Wow.
There's this powerful shift here from judgment to grace.
And it's interesting, Dr. Oswalt, he makes this distinction.
Yeah.
Between healing the person,
mm-hmm,
and just forgiving the action.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we think of healing as just wiping the slate clean. You know,
yeah.
Just forgetting the wrong.
Yeah, just moving on.
But it sounds like God's doing something way deeper here.
Oh, absolutely. He's not just interested in covering up the problem.
Right.
He wants to get to the root of the waywardness, you know?
Yeah.
Transform their hearts and minds.
It's like, he's saying, I don't just want to forgive you. I want to make you whole.
Exactly.
It makes me think about how we always want that quick fix, you know?
Yeah, the easy way out.
We mess up. We ask forgiveness. We want to move on.
Yeah.
We don't want to deal with the underlying stuff.
Right. But true healing, it takes time. It takes work.
Yeah.
It's not always easy or comfortable.
No, it's not. And it requires us to let God work in us.
Yeah, to surrender.
Yeah, to prune away those unhealthy patterns and to let new growth happen.
Yeah, it's like gardening in a way. You know, sometimes you got to dig down deep and pull out the weeds.
Oh, yeah.
Before you can plant something beautiful and life-giving.
I love that. So how does that healing play out? Like, what does it look like for Israel to actually experience this restoration? Does God just like snap his fingers and everything's fixed?
I wish it were that simple. The imagery in verses 5 through 7 really paint this beautiful picture of what this looks like.
Okay.
It says, I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade.
Wow. That's beautiful imagery.
It is.
It really captures that idea of transformation, doesn't it? Mm. It's like Israel's this parched land, and suddenly it bursts into life because of God's presence.
Exactly. And notice, it's God who initiates and sustains this.
Yeah.
He's the dew that brings life.
Mm.
It's not something they can do on their own.
So we can't fix ourselves. No. We need God's grace.
We do.
But then at verse 8, there's this sudden shift. It says, Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I have answered and will care for him. I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me.
Yeah.
It's like God saying, okay, we're done with that. You've seen the emptiness, the idols, the false gods. Move on.
It's almost like Israel's finally reached this point of understanding.
Yep.
You know, they've gone through the wilderness. They've experienced the consequences.
Right.
And they're finally realizing it's pointless to rely on anything other than God.
It's a big realization, isn't it?
It is.
To let go of those things that we've been clinging to.
Right. Letting go of what's holding you back.
The things we thought we needed.
Yeah.
And there's a huge element of trust there, too, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
God is saying, I trust you to make the right choice. I trust you to walk in my ways.
Hmm. Speaking of walking in God's ways.
Yeah.
How does that connect to wisdom, which seems to be the focus in these final verses of chapter 14?
That's a great question. You know, Dr. Oswalt pointed out that the biblical idea of wisdom is totally different from the way it was viewed in, like, the ancient world.
Okay.
Back then, wisdom was all about practical knowledge, you
right.
know, like how to get ahead in life, how to be successful.
Yeah, like a life hack.
Yeah, exactly. But biblical wisdom, it's rooted in something much deeper.
Right.
It's about aligning ourselves with God's character, with his ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding that true fulfillment comes from being in a right relationship with God.
So it's not just knowing the right things to do.
Right.
It's about being the right kind of person.
Yes, exactly.
Someone who reflects God's character
yeah.
in their thoughts, their words, and their actions.
That's it. And I think that's what's being emphasized in those closing verses. It says, who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them.
Mm.
It's this invitation to reflect on everything we've learned from Hosea
right.
and to actually apply those truths to our own lives.
So choose the path of wisdom.
Yes.
Even when you're hard.
Even when it's tough. Because walking in God's ways, it leads to life.
Yeah.
It leads to wholeness. It leads to true flourishing.
But how do we actually do that? What does it look like to walk in God's ways day to day?
Well, that's a great question. And that's what we're going to dive into in the final part of our deep dive.
All right. Can't wait. Okay. So we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Hosea 14. And we've been talking about this idea of walking in God's ways, which is like a big theme throughout the whole book. But what does that even look like, right, in real life?
Yeah, it's kind of vague. But I think Dr. Oswalt gave us some good clues when he talked about the characteristics of God's ways.
Okay.
And the first one, that God is completely trustworthy. That one really stood out to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, right? If you're going to put your trust in someone, you got to know you can rely on them.
Exactly. And this isn't just like, you know, God being dependable in a general sense. This mm-hmm. is like, his character is the foundation of reality, you know, like deep down knowing he can be trusted.
Right.
Even when everything else feels crazy and uncertain.
That's actually really comforting when you think about it, especially today. Everything feels so unpredictable.
Yeah. It's like having a solid rock to stand on.
Yeah.
No matter what storms come.
Yeah. I like that. And so that trustworthiness that goes hand in hand with the second characteristic that Dr. Oswalt mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
God is self-giving love.
Yeah.
So it's not just that he's powerful. It's not just that he keeps his promises.
Right.
It's that his very nature is love.
Yeah. Love is who he is at his core.
At love is what compels him to act for us, even when we, you know, we mess up.
Yeah. And Dr. Oswalt even suggested that, you know, we could almost flip those two. You know, because God is self-giving love. He can be trusted. Mm. Like, his love is what makes him reliable.
I never thought of it like that. But that means his love isn't based on what we do, you know, on our performance.
Right.
It just flows from who he is. But here's the thing. If God is love, why does he let us experience those consequences, you know, when we make bad choices?
I think a lot of people ask that. And I think it goes back to free will. You know,
yeah.
God doesn't want to control us.
Right.
or force us to obey. He wants us to choose him freely, and that means letting us experience the consequences.
So it's not that he's punishing us.
Yeah.
It's more like he's letting us learn.
It's like a parent letting their kid fall down, skin their knee. It's part of growing up. Because of those consequences, they can be opportunities for growth.
Yeah.
To see where we went wrong and to turn back to God.
And that brings us to the next thing Dr. Oswald talked about. God is always ready to restore us if we just come back.
Always. There's always that open door.
Like no matter what.
No matter what, no matter how far we've strayed, God's love and mercy are always there.
That's really good to hear. But what does that restoration actually look like? Does God just like wave a magic wand and everything's perfect again?
Well, I think like we saw earlier in Hosea, restoration, it's a process. It's healing, growth, transformation. It's letting God work in us, you know, like pruning away the dead branches and helping us to grow.
So it's not about going back to how things were before.
No, it's about becoming new, better.
I like that. And then the last thing Dr. Oswald mentioned, this one always gives me so much hope. God's continuing desire is to bless us.
It's true. Even when we're messing up, even when we're running away, he still wants to bless us.
Wow.
And those blessings, they might not always look the way we expect. Dr. Oswald said that.
Okay.
It's not always wealth or success or comfort. Sometimes it's the trials and challenges that actually bring us closer to God.
Yeah, it's like they say, sometimes what we want most isn't actually what's best for us.
Exactly.
Makes me think about those times, you know, looking back on something hard.
Yeah.
And realizing it actually made me stronger.
Right. And it reminds us God's ways aren't always our ways.
Yeah.
But he's always working for our good, even when we can't see it.
So maybe we need to change how we think about blessings. It's not just about getting what we want. It's about becoming who we're supposed to be.
Yeah. And that brings us back to Hosea. God is saying, turn back to me, walk in my ways, and you will experience true life, true flourishing, true blessing.
Hmm.
It's about aligning ourselves with God, with his character,
yeah,
trusting in his love, embracing his ways, and finding our purpose in him.
It's powerful. Leaves us with a lot to think about. Like, what does it mean to fear the Lord?
Mm.
How can that help us? Especially in a world where it feels like everyone values such different things. It's something to think about.
It is. It really is.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll be back next time for another one.